Okay, I've titled my talk this morning, Warts and All, Why I Love Meadville. And I chose the word love. It was kind of hard for me to do that because the word gets so overused that it loses all its meaning. People say they love my new earrings, or a friend once told me she loved American Sniper. Really? So when I say I love Meadville, I mean that I love the place the way a person might love her funny-looking little mutt whose front legs are shorter than her back legs and who has never figured out that the mailman is not a threat. I love Meadville the way a parent loves his most vulnerable child, the one with the bad complexion, who's more or less failed at all the sports he's tried, but keeps trying. Let's get the warts out of the way first, because I think I'm going to suffer in the credibility department if I don't do that. So yes, the winters can be brutal. They're too long and too overcast and too cold. Though Rich and I have never been people who skate or snowshoe, or the mere idea of going out ice fishing makes me shiver. We do make it a point to bundle up and go out nearly every day as though it were summer. It's sort of our way of refusing to let it conquer us. Some of you go to Florida for a while every winter, and that can be a pleasant break. But I have two sisters who lived in Florida for several decades, and those people hole up in their houses worse in the summertime than we do in the winter. Still, bottom line, our winters can be hard to take. And yes, we have our share of small-minded, ill-informed people who aren't bashful about sharing their views. There are even a handful of mean-spirited, hateful misanthropes around here. I'm probably one of the people they hate, even though they don't know it, because they can't see it on my skin, or the way that I dress, or who I hold hands with. But would you believe there are respectable places that are much worse? Years ago, Rich and I lived in Harrisonburg, Virginia, the home of James Madison University. Harrisonburg at the time was a small college town, similar in size to Meadville. And I have to tell you that for my taste, they had the best weather in the whole country. All four seasons with short winters, lots of sun, low humidity, brief bursts of rain, 80 degrees in the summertime. It may be different now, but back then it was rife with bigotry. When we arrived from Ohio, into our new Harrisonburg neighborhood, the mailboxes of most of our neighbors had stickers on them saying George Wallace for president. Now, some of you old timers will remember who George Wallace was. Rich's best friend down there was a black man named Don, who was one of his co-workers. And Don spent a fair amount of time at our home, and he was the object of the neighbor's curiosity. A young woman who was among the town's gentry took me aside one day to educate me on a young woman's deportment around a black man. She saw it as her duty to inform me that if I were to give Don a ride in our car, I must ask him to sit in the back seat. Well, luckily I had two little kids at the time and no driver's license, so I never had to worry about whether to follow that edict or not. We had another neighbor named George Tutwiler, who was sort of an equal opportunity bigot. He despised aliens from outside the Shenandoah Valley, Yankees, black people, and old people alike. When a moving van rolled in next door bearing Pennsylvania license plates, Tutwiler got suspicious and came over to confront the movers. He wanted to know if them's niggers moving in there, because if they are, you load them right back on up and get them out of here. Tutwiler also came around with a petition he wanted us to sign that summer. He'd heard that a developer was planning to build an old folks' home across the street. He was sure we wouldn't want such a place in our neighborhood. Because, as he put it, there'll be ambulances and sirens going off at all hours of the day and night, and when one of them old folks dies, they're going to drape the place in crepe paper. And you know, he said to me confidentially, you got to watch them old folks. Some of them get kind of funny, and when they do, they might come right up into your yard and pee. Well, we didn't sign his petition, thereby undoubtedly confirming his suspicion that Yankees have a dubious moral code. In my 52 years of living here, nothing like any of these encounters has ever occurred in my presence. But of course, we have poverty. We look around at the dilapidated housing and feel a twinge of horror that people have to live in some of these places. We're often behind someone paying with food stamps in the checkout line at the grocery store, and note with dismay that we can't see any veggies in their carts. There are sometimes empty storefronts along Chestnut Street, and frequently some brave soul has decided to open a new business that, chances are fair, won't make it through the winter. Then there are the potholes. I have often thought that the world's worst job, most thankless job, must be repairing the streets in the snow belt where the roads take such a beating. No one could pay me enough to do that job. So I've come to understand that no place is perfect. So what's to love about this place? Well, first of all, it's long and rich history. George Washington hadn't even been elected president yet in 1788 when David Meade picked his way across the Allegheny Mountains along the Indian trails to establish a settlement here. Allegheny College was founded 4 years before Thomas Jefferson founded the University of Virginia, and 10 years before Harmion Heidecoper broke away from his Presbyterian church to establish this church, then called the Independent Congregational Church. Heidecoper also founded and funded the Meadville Theological School to educate clergy for this church and to train ministers to serve communities all over the world, really. Meadville had a notable involvement in social justice, too. Many of you know that residents here participated in the Underground Railroad by helping slaves escape to freedom. But did you know that a local event set in motion the desegregation of schools throughout Pennsylvania? If you've been coming to some of the 1825 events, you probably do know that, but if you haven't, you might have missed that. At the time, there was a state law mandating that any community like Meadville that had more than 20 Negro children must provide a separate school for them. A black carpenter here named Elias Allen tried to register his two young children for the white school nearest his home instead of a segregated school, but he was refused. Allen filed a suit, and our local common pleas judge, whose name was Pearson Church, ruled the state law was unconstitutional, and his ruling stuck, thereby desegregating schools throughout the whole state of Pennsylvania. When I worked at the YWCA back in 1976, an elderly descendant of Elias Allen was a member there and a frequent presence. Many of us are aware that the railroad played a major role in Meadville's development, but did you know that this city was once the major stopover between New York City and both Chicago and St. Louis? Our Atlantic and Great Western Railroad was longer, railroad station was longer than the football field and bustled with activity. Adjoining it was a really grand hotel, the McHenry House, that won extravagant praise from none other than Horace Greeley, writing in the New York Daily Tribune. Unfortunately, these facilities fell into disuse with the demise of the whole U.S. rail system as interstate highways were built and people began to fly. Many of you know that the zipper was invented here by a combination of the work of Lewis Walker and Gideon Sundack. The industry they created, called Talon, that employed thousands and carried Meadville through the Great Depression pretty much unscathed, was created right here. But about 45 years ago, Talon moved south and then to Asia. I checked, and none of the zippers on any of my clothes say Talon anymore. They all say YKK. But it wasn't just the zipper. This place was a hotbed of invention and productivity in the early 1900s. M.M. Beeman invented a flexible wire-woven stay that he built into his corsets, and his Spirella company took off. He marketed his corsets all over the country, both for women and for men. The Spirella company was ahead of its time in employee relations, too, subsidizing an employee association that offered an infirmary, self-improvement programs, and a library. They also sponsored a company baseball team that competed in the Pony League, and they released their employees to attend their home games. Spirella moved to Buffalo, and then not much later, the corset fell out of fashion. There are other examples, too. A different Beeman is credited with developing the prototype of the modern gas pump. A local cartographer and bicycling enthusiast named Harry Robinson patented the world's first exercycle. A man named Page developed an early water boiler that could utilize alternative fuels, gas, coal, and oil, and for the first time included safety devices like thermostats and air release valves. Meadville was really the seat of culture. Timothy Alden, who was a descendant of pilgrims John and Priscilla Alden, and a graduate of Harvard, was chosen by the locals to educate their frontier children at Allegheny College as they would have been educated along the Atlantic seaboard. In 1880, a graduate of Allegheny College, Ida Tarbell, is considered one of the country's greatest investigative journalists, even today. And as you know, if you've been attending Meadville 1825 events, the Meadville Theological School, which was located right out here at the intersection of Alden and Chestnut Street, and also known as the Unitarian College, was the alternative to more traditional religious education. It moved to Chicago in 1926 and became part of the University of Chicago. Most of you have probably not heard of Juvia Tinker Hart, but in the building we now call the Academy Theater, she established the Academy of Music with its opera house featuring local and traveling shows, everything from classical opera to vaudeville, minstrel, acrobatic shows, and eventually silent movies. In 1911, it became the Pennsylvania College of Music, directed by Morton Luvoss, one of the great choral music directors of the 20th century, and the patriarch of the Luvoss family, who lived around here not too long ago and were active members of this church. Music was such an important part of life in Meadville that almost every fire company, civic group, and volunteer organization had its own band or orchestra. Well, I've barely scratched the surface, but suffice it to say that for a town that who had a population that maxed out at 19,000 people in its heyday, that had two prestigious colleges, 30 churches, two business schools, five schools of music, and no less than 12 regional and national publications. There had to have been many dedicated, talented, and industrious people among them. We're not in that heyday anymore, and I guess you could say that most of us know that. But I believe that you and I and most of the other people around here still enjoy the benefits of those times. For me, first and foremost, there's Allegheny College. The college faculty and faculty spouses, as well as students who stay here after they graduate, definitely contribute a certain vibrancy to this community. A few examples come to mind. Autumn Vogel and Lee Scandinero stayed here after they graduated several years ago. Both of them appear in one or two stage productions, both musicals and drama, almost every year. And on top of that, Autumn is a city councilwoman who supports a lot of the positions most of us believe in, such as inspections of rental housing to make sure that it's safe and livable. There's Amara Geffen, a former faculty member, art faculty member, who with some of her art students is primarily responsible for many of those murals that you see painted on the exteriors of buildings here in town, as well as for that metal sculpture that's out by the Department of Transportation on 322. And that Meadville sign that was on the front of your order of service, that was created by Amara's husband, Jed Miller, who's also an Allegheny graduate, and I think he's coming this afternoon to do some work in this church, if I'm not mistaken. Julia Kemp, another Allegheny graduate who made her home here, has been the artistic director of the Academy Theater for several years. And I dare say I've seen musical productions there that rival some I've seen in much bigger cities. Then there's Allegheny's grad, Rob Smith, who is the founder and CEO of Accutech Precision Aerospace. In 2023, he bought land from the Crawford County Historical Society to create Cuswego Square, where he has provided both the funding and the developmental leadership. It's the new home of the Meadville Community Theater, French Creek Community Theater, Domenico Restaurant, and several other arts-oriented features. And by the way, the executive director of that Crawford County Historical Society, Josh Sheritz, is also an Allegheny graduate. So is Lisa Pepicelli, a prominent attorney in town, and Lynn McCumber, the executive director of CHAPS, the Crawford County Mental Health Awareness Program. Right here in this church, we have former Allegheny people that certainly make a contribution. Rick Holmgren, who is a former math professor at Allegheny, Josh Searle White, a former psych prof, my husband, Rich Chafee, former director of counseling, and our Jane Ellen Nickel is a former chaplain. This is far from an exhaustive list, but you get the idea. This town would not be the same rich place for people like us if it weren't for Allegheny College. Then there's this church. Meadville would not be the place I love without this church. In addition to Rick and Josh and Rich and Jane, we owe a debt of gratitude to some of the longtime members here, people like Deb Lehman, who, as far as I can see, does something in almost everything. Peggy Bell, who assures us that we have flowers here at just below the altar every Sunday. Joyce Milberg, who drives over 40 miles each way to participate and to share her wisdom. Karen Schreiber Mason, who makes sure we have someone up here in the pulpit every Sunday. But we are also blessed to have attracted some newcomers who perk the place up too. People like Naima Haviland, whose self-expression is so clear and she speaks so fluidly that we have to get her up here in the pulpit speaking someday soon. And Tom Edmonds, who set Meadville 1825 in motion and got us an almost $80,000 grant to remodel the parlor in the parish house. And Sandy Ball, with her lively personality and music talent, entertaining us. And Mary Beth Edmonds, who shares her interest in grief management and creative writing. And Ed Petchen, who brings his infectious smile, whether he's working on an art project or cleaning up after coffee hour. And Lou Trumbull, who sees this church with fresh eyes and who is responsible for providing us with those giant bags that we shake the feed out of so that we can recycle them. Rich and I, when we retired back in 2006, looked around for places we wanted to live out our lives. Some places might have been sunnier, some places might have been tidier, but no place would have been more lovable, like that funny little mutt with the front legs that were too short, than Meadville.